This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Appreciate you being with us on a Monday afternoon. Kamala Harris and her recent realization that, you know, the economy right now, for people like you and me, it's been a little bit tough. She's got a solution for it.
Believe in a future where we lower the cost of living for America's families so they have a chance not just to get by, but to get ahead. To get ahead. Because look, while our economy is doing well by many measures, prices for everyday things like groceries are still too high.
Well, Kamala, I believed in a past where maybe we could afford the daily goods and services that we need. But those policies that she's been in charge of don't seem to be what has lowered those costs. We are joined now by Steve Moore, Distinguished Fellow in Economics at the Heritage Foundation, and also Trump Economic Advisor. Steve, welcome back to the show. She sees a future where we have lower costs and she fights inflation. How's she going to do that?
Hi, Annie. Good to be with you. Well, I don't exactly know what she's saying, because on the one hand, she's saying we're going to provide a better standard of living for workers, and yet workers have suffered a big loss in their standard of living over the last 3.5 years while Joe Biden has been president and Kamala Harris has been vice president. And so, and she, by the way, she hasn't distanced herself from the Biden policy. She's really embraced it as if it's been some kind of great success, Bidenomics. So I think Americans are going to have to decide, you know, if you think things are working out well right now in the economy and you want 4 more years of this, then you probably should vote for Kamala Harris. But if you're worried about where we're going, and I'm really worried about it, I think I'm really worried about a financial crisis. I'm really worried about, you know, a recession at some point that could be really painful, like we've seen, you know, like we saw in 2008. I hope I'm wrong about that, but it just seems like everything we're doing in Washington right now is so wrong. And I think what Kamala is promising is more of the same.
Yeah. You know, we're speaking with Steve Moore right now. The thing about what we're doing right now being so wrong, it's wrong if the goals and intention that one has are like yours, which is where the people control the assets and have the opportunity to have success. I sometimes worry that the situation in this country right now is a success for the people who are in the White House, because maybe this is the outcome that they've been trying to achieve, where you need to lean on government a little bit more for the provisions that one requires to make it through the day.
Well, I live, as you know, in the swamp. I live in Washington, D.C. and the surrounding area, and we're doing just fine. Thank you so much. We're doing great. The rest of the country, not so much. And so if you want to feed the beast and, you know, continue to allow government to grow and grow, then Kamala's your girl. No doubt about that. But a lot of these programs that they keep creating only benefit the people who work in and around government. And so that's kind of a warning that this may not have a happy ending. And, you know, meanwhile, Trump's out there. Did you see the latest? I don't know if you saw this yet, Annie. Is that now Kamala says she's for not taxing tips.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
What do you think? Yeah. She's got this big new idea.
First they attacked the issue. Oh, my God, this is the worst issue, you know, worst idea ever. And then when they saw people like it, they said, she didn't even attribute it to Trump. She just said, I'm not going to tax tips. When 3 weeks ago, she was saying, this is the terrible idea. So it really is amazing. I call her the Kamala the chameleon, because I don't know from one day to the next. I really don't what her position is.
You know, you mentioned something in your first statement here about you're worried about where this economy could go. Yeah. And I'm thinking about Donald Trump and that hour long presser that he stood up and answered questions from everybody. Yeah. I think he said the word depression if we don't get this thing right. How bad could it get?
Well, I think a depression is a little bit of an overstatement. You know, Trump is known to exaggeration, but I think, you know, we could be, you know, it could be really bad. I mean, look, we've borrowed, you know, for, and by the way, you know, Trump's last year in office, you know, we spent too much money too. It was ever since COVID hit, we just really haven't recovered. And so you take all the spending that Trump did and then Kamala and Biden came in and doubled down on it. You know, we're spending a lot of money we don't have. And, you know, it's just like, you've got a credit card, right, Annie?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, it would be wonderful if you could just go out and spend whatever you wanted on everything you want and never have to pay it back. But this is sort of the logic of the left. We could just keep running up the credit card.
Yeah.
And that story doesn't usually have a happy ending.
That's not the way it works when I'm using my credit card. They always want their money back and then some. The policies that I've heard from Kamala Harris pretty much boil down to Donald Trump's policy of not taxing tips. The crowd went wild when she says that. I think it's
what did she say?
The no taxing tips when she just said at that rally. The crowd went wild. I think they know that she's trolling Trump. So I think that's why they love it. But she said that in the same breath where she talked about raising the minimum wage. What is the economic plan for Kamala Harris to say after 3 years in office, yeah, we really need to get inflation down?
Well, look, you know, the minimum wage is basically for starter jobs. 90% of the people, you know, make the minimum wage. It's their first job. You know, I don't know about you. My first job was minimum wage, $2.25 an hour.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago. you know, so all you do is if you raise the minimum wage, you're just making it more difficult for teenagers and young people to start on the economic ladder. And if you can't get on the first rung of the economic ladder, then it's harder to get on the second and third and fourth and start to climb the ladder. So I think, look, I'm for a reasonable minimum wage, but you know, in some states you're at 20, you know, you saw what happened in California when they raised their minimum wage for McDonald's workers, you know, half the restaurants closed down. So that didn't work out too well for the workers.
Yeah. Okay, so I know we only got you for about another 90 seconds here. We know what Kamala Harris wants to do, but no plan. What's Trump do to get this back on track?
Well, you know, we have basically what he did last time. We're going to start from day one drilling for all the energy we have. We're the most abundant energy country in the world. We've got oil, we've got coal, we've got natural gas, and we're going to then make sure that our tax cuts are permanent so that we have the some of the lowest tax rates in the world, not the highest tax rates in the world. So we have jobs here. We're going to try to get this budget under control. I mean, you know, it's got to be, you're going to have economic growth, and there's hundreds of billions of dollars of programs that Trump has said we can live without. I don't recall a single program that Kamala Harris has said she wants to eliminate. Have you?
No, probably wants to grow them all. More
money. All she has is basically tax the rich. Well, guess what? You could take all the money from every millionaire and billionaire in the country, and you're not going to balance the budget because it's a middle-class country. They're coming after us, folks.
Yeah, we've got to fix this in November, and I know that you're an important part of that. Steve Moore, thank you for being with us today. It's always great to speak with you.
Okay, have a great week ahead. Thanks.
Yep, you as well.
Thanks so much, Jenny. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Distinguished fellow in economics at the Heritage Foundation. His book, Govzilla, How the Relentless Growth of Government is Devouring Our Economy and Our Freedom. It's really what it's all about. And he also is an economic advisor to Donald Trump. So a pleasure that he gives us some time every Monday afternoon. We often, a lot of times you'll tune in and expect to hear Steve Moore in the 1 o'clock hour like this. And when he's not here, don't turn off the radio. But a lot of times when you turn on Fox News, he's on Fox News and we're sitting in here. We know he's not coming on, or maybe he was maybe going to make it. And then you see him on the TV and you're like, okay. We were going to do that with General Kellogg today. He couldn't make it onto the show at 12:25, and he was doing a Fox hit at 12:25. So then you're like, oh, well, they weren't lying. he didn't change his schedule around this, but he was on Fox. So we appreciate the connections that we're able to have. Economically speaking, when Kamala Harris comes out and starts talking about inflation and how she knows, she understands, she gets you. She knows what it's like. You created this problem. How does she feel? Like, how does she look herself in the mirror and complain about or acknowledge the fact that you as a voter are dealing with tough times right now because inflation is killing you? Well, it's because she doesn't have to reconcile that. She doesn't even pause to look in the mirror when she's having these when she's making these statements in front of an audience that loves her. I saw a comment here from one of our listeners, and it was talking about how, you know, all of these policy issues are a problem. Here it is. It's from Molly. Meanwhile, Trump is fixated on her rally crowds. I wonder why we all lose. There's something to that. I feel like there's a lot that can be when you're talking about things that maybe they're important issues for people to discuss. But Donald Trump, you don't need to be the one to comment on it. It's not going to stop. We're not going to get to the point where Donald Trump stops picking on these things. He's not going to be contained. He's not going to be somebody who all of a sudden decides to approach this differently. Less is more with Donald Trump. It was perfectly exemplified in the debate against Joe Biden. He stayed out of the way. He is in a place where he knows that Joe Biden is going to be the headline after this, that he's going to be a failure in his own right, and he managed to keep it quiet. Can you find cut 22? It's not in the folder, please. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, oh my gosh, he's actually doing it. He's following through. He's making it happen. He's keeping his mouth shut. He's answering the questions. He had a few, you know, small zingers, but nothing that is really headline stuff. I mean, the headlines after the debate were all Joe Biden. He let that happen. And he could have very easily stepped in the way of that massive story and put himself in a position to fail in that regard. And he didn't do it. So I have hope that in the future he can do the same thing. But that is my prayer, that Donald Trump can, as the kids say, and I hate this phrase, understand the assignment and not get in his own way. It's the key point to winning this election, to not steal victory from the jaws of defeat, or whichever way you're supposed to say it. He is not a politician. Greg Gutfeld the other day nailed this one on the Five.
You can't expect a political experience from somebody who is never going to be a politician. And Trump is never going to be a politician. He wasn't raised as one. He doesn't act like one. He did a 70-minute relentless question and answer period. What should be gained from that? Like, when you walk away from that, you can go, God, I wish you would rein that in. But the thing is, the one thing that you saw, if let's say with the Five, we have millions of viewers, a lot of them don't like Trump and a lot of them are Democrats. So they're listening to me tell you why this matters. He's engaged. And that's really necessary right now. All of the pistons are working. He was there for 70 minutes. He answered every question. You can tell that he's going to be like that with everything, because he is. There's not that phony engagement of the establishment politician where they say exactly enough. It's neat and it's tidy, and it's almost impossible to remember what they said after they said it. Politicians are trained to say nothing. You know, and he can't do that. He never got that training. So I think when you're watching vintage Trump, you have to realize that this is how he's going to be in meetings with people who aren't friendly to the United States, or people who want something from America, and we demand scrutiny and reciprocity. So just replace the media with all those people. He's not a figurehead. So if you're looking at him, you're going, I can't stand it. He's not a figurehead. He's an agent. He's your agent. He's America's lawyer. He's in the room there to represent his client, America. Your needs and your concerns. He's supposed to be an you know, he's not interested in impressing the other people in the room. I want an agent or a lawyer with that relentless energy that makes people upset. And the country needs that. We've had 4 years of perk hungry elites who are there for the pomp and not for the people. So it's kind of, you have to look at this stuff as a necessity, that this guy is going to be that way in a room with people that have been screwing us over forever. Do you want him or do you want Kamala? Who do you want in that room? You want the guy that nobody likes because they don't like him for a reason.
You know, I think Greg Gutfeld nailed it when he's explaining this. And I want to make you think for a second just about what you know about what Donald Trump would do as the president, but also how certain elements of Donald Trump make you feel. Because this is the key to the Harris-Walz success. The key is to make you not think at all about what he will do and to only make Donald Trump about what he makes you feel. And the truth of this is where I have to remind myself to step back from this too. So I'm speaking to myself when I say this. The things that Donald Trump makes you feel, it's likely for most of you, maybe not all of you, it's not as much that he invokes those emotions to you. It's the way that people who hate Donald Trump, when they talk to you, when they tweet at you, if they're commenting on social media to you, if there is an instance where you have an interaction with somebody who cannot stand Donald Trump, they're lefties. They're allowed to be lefties. They're Democrats. That's what makes this country great. We get to think for ourselves. The key is that we actually do. The emotions, the things that people, that I get frustrated about with Donald Trump when he does things, I'm not so sensitive that when he says something maybe a little extra that I'm like, gosh, that hurts me so much. I'm so hurt by it. That's not the case at all. I actually don't. As long as he's not putting us in a position where we're going to be incurring danger, I don't really care about the words that he says, or really, in fact, the words that anyone else says anyway. What matters is the meaning. What matters is the intention. The thing that the Harris Walls ticket can do to effectively beat Donald Trump is to make you bristle every time Donald Trump talks, because the next time you encounter a Trump hater, they're going to say these things to you that you feel like you have to defend, and you don't want to defend them. So don't. Are they defending Kamala Harris and her history, the way she has led into being the vice president of the United States, the things she said, the things she's done, the things that she has completely turned a purposeful blind eye to? Are they spending their time defending any of that? Of course they're not, because the whole time we're all wrapped up in trying to defend something that Donald Trump said that some softy on the other side thinks is mean and it hurts my... Just don't. You don't have to. I absolve you of the responsibility of spending time defending how Donald Trump makes people feel. You don't have to do it. It's not necessary. Just talk policies. And if they don't want to talk policies, their sensitivities, their soft emotions, you're not going to get them over that. Move on. Find somebody that cares about being able to afford the future for their kids. Find somebody who cares about living in a country where the border actually matters. Find somebody who cares about the right to make decisions about how to raise your own children and grandchildren within the moral structure that you choose for your family, because in this country, at least for now, that's still important. Find those people. Talk to them and make sure they vote. Let's speak to Congressman Mike Boss. He's coming to join us in studio here. When we return, I'm excited to have the congressman from Illinois' 12th District right in here in just a minute. He is the chair of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, and he's going to talk to you when we come back. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
There are some people who were unhappy with the letter. Let me say to some said that some people were unhappy with the letter. I'll put it in somebody else's mouth. Because it was a, I don't even know, it didn't sound like Joe Biden to me. It really didn't.
Oh, man, Nancy Pelosi must not be on Joe Biden's side anymore. When she's out saying these things publicly, I guess on the Sunday shows, she's not lending him any cover. We've got Congressman Mike Bost in studio with us. He is the chair of the House Veterans Affairs Committee. And he is the representative for Illinois' 12th District. Congressman, thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having me in.
You bet. Nancy Pelosi, I mean, to me, I've always seen the Democrats and come hell or high water.
They stick together.
Well, it seems as though Joe Biden's on the outside of that.
You know, I mean, this all went down as she talked nice to him. Then we find out that she said this can be done the easy way or the hard way. She stabbed him in the back, stabbed him in the chest, kicked him to the curb. And, you know, she's done. She's moving on.
I mean, so Biden drops out from running for reelection. He's still the president of the United States. I'm reading on Fox News the headline behind you, Israel on alert, bracing for possible Iran strike.
Yeah.
The world is in a moment right now where America needs to be at its best.
Anytime, no matter what the situation is in the world or in the nation, you need to have a commander-in-chief who is ready at a moment's notice, that knows what's going on, or at least is surrounding themselves with the persons that know the most about what's going on, but should have at least a 36,000-foot level. We have two carriers groups in the region. We're preparing. We're doing for what we're supposed to. But the question is, who made the call? Where is the president on this? He hasn't been talking to anyone, you know, since this happened a couple weeks ago. We were told earlier today, I think, that he's being briefed, but he was not going to come out and give any press conference because he's working on this. And we keep hearing this, and it's kind of been the whole presidency that's pretty well been this way.
Is he capable of doing the job?
I don't know. According to his people that surround him, they say yes. I don't know.
Are they reading that off of a card when they say yes?
I think.
No bueno.
And it is, look, politically, let's drop the political and let's actually look at what the nation is and try to figure out who is the best person to have in there. If he's not capable, then who's making the decisions?
That's the question, because those people weren't elected.
No. Our system is set up that you will have a commander in chief who is responsible to the people. And right now, it's a case where you don't know whether this president, and that's a scary thing to send that signal to our enemies, especially with Russia, where they're at, China in their position, and Israel having to face Iran and all of this. So it's a tough time that we need a commander in chief.
Congressman Bost in studio with us right now. So you've worked with Donald Trump. You've supported Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. He has supported you. If Donald Trump is in office right now and in command, do you feel as though Iran is as bold as they are acting right now?
Let me explain this. If Donald Trump had been in office, you would not have seen the attack on Israel. If Donald Trump had been in office, you would not have seen the attack on Ukraine. Because you have to have a bold, strong president that gives the appearance that, go ahead, cross a line. I'll tell you where the line's at. Don't do it. And if you do, it's not going to be good for you. And then you either believe them.
Yes, because this president says don't all the time.
Right.
But there's something about Trump.
It's kind of like the parent that says they're going to be discipline a little child and never does. It's the same thing. Once you have got your situation where they know that you'll do what you say, they won't cross that line again. And you know, Reagan was a great example of that, you know.
Yes.
The Iran hostage situation, he told him, if the day that I am inaugurated, their feet had better be on U.S. soil. They were as he was being inaugurated. So this statement of a strong president, Donald Trump has that. Whether they believe it because they think he's a strong character, whether they think he's just crazy enough to do it, it doesn't matter, because they fear a policy of, we have a big stick and we are willing to use it. If you don't understand, we have a certain policy in place. Don't mess with a free nation.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I love that you said a parent who doesn't discipline their children, because I have a mom look. And if I say, if the kids are screwing, I'm like, hey, don't cut that out. Or if I go, don't.
Right. Yeah. And then look,
they're going to test one of those and not test the other.
That's right.
And we all know what it's like to be around kids who just don't listen.
Right.
And they haven't been taught.
And trust me, when we know from world history, a dictator, the only way you calm down a dictator is be a stronger force than he is with his battle behind him, or with his battle group behind him.
We're speaking with Congressman Mike Bost. He is the United States Congressman for Illinois' 12th District. I want to go through some of the major players right now that are campaigning to run to win the presidency. Of course, we're talking about Trump now. Kamala Harris. I don't know how much experience you have working directly with Kamala Harris.
I really haven't had a lot with Kamala Harris. She was in the Senate and then now as vice president. So the Senate and House, but I'm going to tell you, Tim Walsh, I know well.
So I want to get to that here in a second. I want to know if you think that, you know, Biden stepped down, and Biden himself said that his party told him he was a liability. And so
and since then, Nancy Pelosi has so much as admitted that that's what they did. So so is it a case where finally Biden will then respond? I don't know. Once again, it boils down to who's handling him.
Is a Harris presidency different than a Biden presidency?
No, it only different in the fact that she's trying now to modify her positions through the election, but you can't take back what has been years of showing exactly who you are. You can't rewrite who you are 6, 7, and 8 times in a month and a half.
What if you can, because the media doesn't force her to be
honest? That's a problem as well. But I would hope that the there's enough of the people paying attention to the media side that doesn't just carry that narrative. And let me tell you, that's a small group.
Your gentleman over here just said you can stay for a second segment.
Oh, good. I'm glad to do that.
I want to ask you before we go to a break that the American people deserve honesty. The media is supposed to work on behalf of the people, not on behalf of any party, either side.
Right. But unfortunately, that's fell by the wayside, and it's proved out over and over again.
My concern about November's election is that the media won't be fair and that the elections won't be fair.
Right. Well, remember, once the media gets, I agree with that. That the media won't be fair. The media hasn't been fair in a long time. It's just now we're seeing it very, 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 very clearly. And as far as the elections won't be fair, I'm worried about that, too. That being said, it's up to the states that have to handle. You and I have had this discussion before. The states, because of the 10th Amendment, and because it's very, very clear that the elections cycle has to be controlled by the state. Now, that being said, in those areas where we can, we just carried a bill that said that must be United States citizens. Okay, we actually carried that, and it's amazing that we had to do that. Then also, for those areas where we have control over, I actually carried a bill that passed out of the House that said that that Washington, D.C., now understand that is a territory, all right, and that's why we have oversight over them. They had voted through the city council that citizens could vote in their local elections. And I passed a bill that sent over. Now, the Senate hasn't picked it up, but we passed a bill out of the House said that you can't do that.
Well, you brought it up, and we're going to talk about this when we come back. You've served
with
Tim Walz. Mm-hmm. You know him a little bit?
A little bit.
You know his kind?
Yep.
Let's talk about it when we come back.
Okay.
Sound good? All right.
Great.
You're not going to want to miss this. We've got Representative Mike Bost in studio with us right now. Great representative from Illinois' 12th District. Excited to have him in studio. And he's going to give us the inside look on former Congressman Tim Walz, current Governor Tim Walz, hopeful Vice President Tim Walz on the Annie Fry Show when we come back. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. I've got a couple clips here, and they're both a minute long, so I'm not going to play them because I want to talk more to Congressman Mike Boss. We can play them maybe later. But this whole conversation surrounding Tim Walz, who was a congressman and served with Congressman Boss in Congress. That's a lot of Congresses. Then he went to be the governor of Minnesota. Now he's trying to be the vice president on the Kamala Harris ticket. A lot of the conversation right now is around this concept of stolen valor. You are a Marine congressman. Yep. Thank you for your service. I thank him for his service in the Minnesota National Guard. Mm-hmm. What do you make of all of this?
Well, here's the thing. I've seen this many times. People want to expand on their record. And for whatever reason, the first time I was introduced to Tim, they actually told me he was a sergeant major. Didn't find out until the other day.
Which is what he's not.
Which he's not. He was never promoted to sergeant major. I'm a corporal. And when I tell people, I tell them I'm a corporal. I don't say I'm a corporal, or I don't say I'm a sergeant. Well, I would have been a sergeant. No.
You're a corporal.
I'm a corporal.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I could tell you that odds are, had I stayed in because of my time and grade, I would have probably been a sergeant. I chose not to, so I'm still a corporal.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about when he carried a gun
in
combat. Now, if you said I was trained with that gun or that rifle, okay, because you don't say gun in Marine Corps, by the way, but Army you can
good
say
to know
but,
learning no, no, things. No,
it's a rifle, okay. So if I was trained with a rifle. That's the rifle I was trained with to go into battle, though I didn't go.
Mm-hmm.
I was. So was he. Because, but he doesn't do that. This didn't stop there. That's what's really wild. Even with, now that's the military. Now that, I'm telling you, the stolen valor thing is we watch that pretty close as veterans. Okay, don't claim something you're not.
Right.
Don't say you were in somewhere and that you got a medal that you didn't get. But what's really wild is when the vice president introduced him. She said that he was chairman of the VA committee. He's not chairman of the VA committee. He was not chairman of the committee. He was ranking member. If you'll remember, my first 2 years, I was ranking member because that's when you're in the minority. What your job as ranking member is to, yes, try to help move good legislation, but be the person to say no on the other. You don't have the responsibility as chairman. You don't call the shot, or as ranking member, you don't call the shots.
Yeah.
You have two and a half times as many staff coordinating the oversight of all of the VA activities, all of this. The chairman is completely different than ranking member. I've been both. But for all of a sudden, for the vice president to make a statement, he's chairman. Once again, he's a sergeant major, he's chairman. Putting him in a position where it is trying to inflate who he is with not true facts and what the bad thing is, the facts aren't bad.
Well, that's the thing. That's what I want to ask you, because Congressman Boss, when I hear you're a Marine, that's like you've maximized my respect for you. You can tell me the details of things but I'm not going to respect you more because you have my whole full heart of respect. And for civilians, because I like how you said, like, you veterans pay attention to these stolen valor things.
You do.
If you're a civilian like myself, I have dear friends of mine who have served and who have served in combat and Operation Iraqi Freedom and so on and so forth. They know the details.
Right.
Taxpayer, citizen, voters, the details don't really mean as much to us unless you're trying to say specific things.
To try to inflate who you are.
That try to pull something out of somebody. Mm-hmm. And with Tim Walz, when I hear these different levels of service, I don't respect him more or less because he was one step ahead or one step behind.
Right.
I'm grateful that people are willing to serve. So why would he do this?
But I don't know why he would do it. I wouldn't do it. But he has done it. And that's the problem.
Is that not debatable?
No. It's not debatable. Because now the military records show he was never a sergeant major.
He has said
he was
untrue things.
Yeah. Yes.
Repeatedly.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, good heavens, the person that introduced me to him was the former chairman of the VA committee, Dr. Phil Rowe, who is also a veteran. And then when he looked at me and said he's a sergeant major, that meant something to me.
Correct.
Okay.
Because you get it.
I got it. Right. Being a top sergeant is still okay. It's just not sergeant major. You know, and why inflate something that just accept your military record for what it is. In this case, but it is showing a clear pattern, as I said, Sergeant Major and Chairman, to try to pump up.
There's a pattern.
There is a pattern. And let me tell you, they've got to do that pattern to try to inflate it. Because when you look at his voting record, he votes farther left than Kamala.
That's my next question, because we are hearing that he's moderate and congressman bossed. If I keep hearing about his Midwestern values one more time, I'm like, no. I've never heard him say ope on stage before. I've never seen him bump into someone and feel really bad about it. Midwestern values, right. His values seem to be extreme.
Right. And let me tell you that he is part of that machine that is Nancy Pelosi. And I'll give you an example. When we were working on the Mission Act, which is the second part of what allows a veteran to go out into the community to receive their service, it was a very, very good bill. He stood up against it in committee, which he probably thought it was a good bill, but Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats put pressure on him, because what happened is the unions that work in the VA feel like that's a step towards privatization. It is not. But the thing is, it's not about the employees at the VA. It's about the veterans who are receiving the service. And instead, he took the position of the Democrat Party over what was best for the veterans in a vote.
So when you hear people saying he's kind of moderate, he's Midwestern, I've played a whole bunch of different things that
When he was in committee,
yeah,
he was a nice guy, but his voting record doesn't show he's moderate at all. It shows he is a strong, strong, strong left. And that's what he chose to do. And it worked for him because it got him governor of a state where you needed to be that.
The governor before him, Pawlenty, was a Republican, correct?
That's correct.
What happened in Minnesota?
There are a lot of influx into Minnesota of, let me say it this way. There is a lot of migration mm-hmm. into Minnesota that changes the dynamics of what Minnesota was.
Why Minnesota? Why is,
I don't know.
Why is the migration to Minnesota?
I don't know what happened, whether it was adding on to the sanctuary cities, the encouragement of certain groups to go into the inner city.
Do you know if Minnesota has been one of the places that the government has established as a refugee location for reestablishment of people who have come here as refugees?
I don't know. I can't say that for sure because I don't know what their actual language was that they put in place. Do they have it? Yes, they do. But I don't know if they did it by law. Okay.
So when Governor Tim Walz is selected to be the vice presidential candidate, does, in your mind, what direction does Walz take the Harris ticket?
He continues to drive it to the left. He has to. I mean, putting feminine hygiene products in a boy's bathroom.
Yeah.
Now, and then, but they think that J.D. Vance drinking Diet Mountain Dew is weird. I want to let you know I drink Diet Mountain Dew.
Yes, everybody drinks Diet Mountain Dew.
Well, it's
doing,
always,
Diet
always
Mountain Dew is doing
to,
fine.
Never past 11:30 in the morning, though, because then I can't take the caffeine.
Yeah, but see, you know, you have a Diet Mountain Dew schedule.
I do.
That's not weird. Everybody knows how long they can drink their Diet Mountain Dew.
But doing what Tim Walz did as a governor, I think that's a little weird.
It's very weird. And you know, I made this point earlier for this long to anybody, because I haven't heard anyone talking about this, but as a woman, I don't expect feminine hygiene products to be provided to me in any restroom I go into, but I would really like to see if in Minnesota all female restrooms have feminine products
right,
in them, because
right.
I bet that they don't. When I'm watching Kamala Harris not talk to the media, I guess there's a possibility that exists that she could get through the rest of this election without having to be pressed. She's going to have to debate.
I don't see how the American people take it, even if the press want to be light on her on this. You are asking to become the leader of the free world. Yes, it's the president of the United States, but you are going to be the leader of the free world. And we've already seen what it's like to not have someone present to do that.
Yes.
Are someone else pulling the strings? And so the question is, do they keep her? It's not COVID. They can't lock her in the basement. But They've got to get her out to talk. Now, do I believe
they
that
have to
she's
get her off the prompter?
Yeah, yeah.
To talk.
And I
she
believe
is out there.
I believe this honeymoon lasts through their convention.
How's Chicago? You as an Illinois representative, you've worked in state government. You've been in Congress for a while. What's going to happen in Chicago?
You know, I don't know. I think that it'll be interesting to see how the state government, whether they what threats they get there. I think maybe after the assassination attempt on Trump, some of it calmed down. I pray it has,
yes,
because the original thought was there was going to be so many riots up there this next weekend that they couldn't control it like they did in 1968.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was with what they did in 1968. Remember, that was the world that was both racial tension and Vietnam tension.
I've heard about it. I don't remember it.
I do. Sorry. I was very young, though.
Yeah,
I was
absolutely.
Very young. I was 7 years old.
Congressman Boss, before we let you go, only got about 90 seconds left. Everyone talks about Trump, Kamala Harris, so on and so forth. We need to win the House. The Republicans need to dominate
in
Congress.
We need to increase our numbers in the House
is
and win
happen?
The Senate. I believe it is. I believe it is. We have some great candidates around this nation. We got a lot of people working hard on them. I'm working with them and trying to get out every time I can to help them. And what's really wild is we are probably the most diverse Republican Party that we've ever been as far as race and gender is concerned. But not policy-wise, okay? We are truly a group of people who believe in our conservative values, and we're going to be working to make sure that this nation holds.
We've been speaking with Congressman Mike Bost, and I'm so grateful that you came in here. I'm so grateful that you were so accessible to talk to our audience here. You got 30 seconds. What do people need to do right now to help secure victory, yes, in Illinois and across the country?
Get involved. First off, let me tell you that yes, get involved with your party that of choice and support, and Republican Party, I would prefer. But also, let me tell you this. I hope that people at the local level, actually, if there's not people running, and a little after the fact now, but pay attention and get so much involved that you might be able to get on a city council or anything like that, because that's what we need.
Awesome. Thank you for being in here.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for the donuts.
Yeah.
Brought us donuts. Last time with bagels.
Donuts this time. Yeah.
Donuts this time. Thank you. You've been listening to Congressman Mike Bost, Illinois' 12th District Representative, Chair of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, and our friend here on The Annie Frye Show. Stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Annie Frye Show. I've got a couple clips here, and they're both a minute long, so I'm not going to play them because I want to talk more to Congressman Mike Bost. We can play them maybe later. But this whole conversation surrounding Tim Walz, who was a congressman and served with Congressman Bost in Congress. That's a lot of Congresses. Then he went to be the governor of Minnesota. Now he's trying to be the vice president on the Kamala Harris ticket. A lot of the conversation right now is around this concept of stolen valor. You are a Marine congressman.
Yep.
Thank you for your service. I thank him for his service in the Minnesota National Guard.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of all of this?
Well, here's the thing. I've seen this many times. People want to expand on their record. And for whatever reason, the first time I was introduced to Tim, they actually told me he was a sergeant major. Didn't find out until the other day.
Which is what he's not.
Which he's not. He was never promoted to sergeant major. I'm a corporal. And when I tell people, I tell them I'm a corporal. I don't say I'm a corporal, or I don't say I'm a sergeant. Well, I would have been a sergeant. No.
You're a corporal.
I'm a corporal.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I could tell you that odds are, had I stayed in because of my time and grade, I would have probably been a sergeant. I chose not to, so I'm still a corporal.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about when he carried a gun in combat. Now, if you said I was trained with that gun or that rifle, okay, because you don't say gun in Marine Corps, by the way, but Army could say.
Good to know, learning things.
It's a rifle, okay. So if I was trained with a rifle, that's the rifle I was trained with to go into battle, though I didn't go.
Mm-hmm.
I was. So was he. Because, but he doesn't do that. And this didn't stop there. That's what's really wild. Even with, now that's the military. Now that, I'm telling you, the stolen valor thing is we watch that pretty close as veterans. Okay, don't claim something you're not.
Right.
Don't say you were in somewhere and that you got a medal that you didn't get. But what's really wild is when the vice president introduced him, she said that he was chairman of the VA committee. He's not chairman of the VA committee. He was not chairman of the committee. He was ranking member. If you'll remember, my first 2 years, I was ranking member because that's when you're in the minority. What your job as ranking member is to, yes, try to help move good legislation, but be the person to say no on the other. You don't have the responsibility as chairman. You don't call the shot, or as ranking member, you don't call the shots.
Yeah.
You have two and a half times as many staff coordinating the oversight of all of the VA activities. All of this, the chairman is completely different than ranking member. I've been both. But for all of a sudden, for the vice president to make a statement, he's chairman. Once again, he's a sergeant major, he's chairman. Putting him in a position where it is trying to inflate who he is with not true facts, and what the bad thing is, the facts aren't bad.
Well, that's the thing. That's what I want to ask you, because Congressman Boss, when I hear you're a Marine, that's like you've maximized my respect for you. You can tell me the details of things that, but I'm not going to respect you more because you have my whole full heart of respect. And for civilians, because I like how you said, like, you veterans pay attention to these stolen valor things.
You do.
If you're a civilian like myself, I have dear friends of mine who have served and who have served in combat and Operation Iraqi Freedom and so on and so forth. They know the details.
Right.
Taxpayer, citizen, voters, the details don't really mean as much to us unless you're trying to say specific things.
To try to inflate who you are.
That try to pull something out of somebody. Mm-hmm. And with Tim Walz, when I hear these different levels of service, I don't respect him more or less because he was one step ahead or one step behind. Right. I'm grateful that people are willing to serve. So why would he do this?
But I don't know why he would do it. I wouldn't do it. But he has done it. And that's the problem.
Is that not debatable?
No. It's not debatable, because now the military records show he was never a sergeant major.
He has said
he was
untrue things.
Yeah. Yes.
Repeatedly.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, good heavens. The person that introduced me to him was the former chairman of the VA committee, Dr. Phil Rowe, who is also a veteran. And then when he looked at me and said he's a sergeant major, that meant something to me.
Correct.
Okay.
Because you get it.
I got it. Right. Being a top sergeant is still okay. It's just not sergeant major. And why inflate something that, just accept your military record for what it is. In this case, but it is showing a clear pattern, as I said, sergeant major and chairman, to try to pump up.
There's a pattern.
There is a pattern. And let me tell you, they've got to do that pattern to try to inflate it. Because when you look at his voting record, he votes farther left than Kamala.
That's my next question, because we are hearing that he's moderate, and Congressman Boss, if I keep hearing about his Midwestern values,
I know.
One more time, I'm like, no. I've never heard him say ope on stage before. I've never seen him bump into someone and feel really bad about it. Midwestern values,
right.
His values seem to be extreme.
Right. And let me tell you that he is part of that machine that is Nancy Pelosi. And I'll give you an example. When we were working on the Mission Act, which is the second part of what allows a veteran to go out into the community to receive their service, it was a very, very good bill. He stood up against it in committee, which he probably thought it was a good bill, but Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats put pressure on him, because what happened is the unions that work in the VA feel like that's a step towards privatization. It is not. But the thing is, it's not about the employees at the VA. It's about the veterans who are receiving the service. And instead, he took the position of the Democrat Party over what was best for the veterans in a vote.
So when you hear people saying he's kind of moderate, he's Midwestern, I've played a whole bunch of different things that he
said
last.
When he was in committee,
yeah,
he was a nice guy, but his voting record doesn't show he's moderate at all. It shows he is a strong, strong, strong left. And that's what he chose to do. And it worked for him because it got him governor of a state where you needed to be that.
The governor before him, Pawlenty, was a Republican, correct?
That's correct.
What happened in Minnesota?
There are a lot of influx into Minnesota of Let me say it this way. There is a lot of migration into Minnesota that changes the dynamics of what Minnesota was.
Why Minnesota? Why is migration to Minnesota?
I don't know what happened, whether it was adding on to the sanctuary cities, the encouragement of certain groups to go into the inner city.
Do you know if Minnesota has been one of the places that the government has established as a refugee location for reestablishment of people who have come here as refugees?
I don't know. I can't say that for sure because I don't know what their actual language was that they put in place. Do they have it? Yes, they do. But I don't know if they did it by law. Okay.
So when Governor Tim Walz is selected to be the vice presidential candidate, does, in your mind, what direction does Walz take the Harris ticket?
He continues to drive it to the left. He has to. I mean, putting feminine hygiene products in a boy's bathroom.
Yeah.
Now, and then, but they think that J.D. Vance drinking Diet Mountain Dew is weird. I want to let you know I drink Diet Mountain Dew.
Yes, everybody drinks Diet Mountain Dew.
Well,
it's doing,
Diet Mountain Dew
is doing fine.
Never past 11:30 in the morning, though, because then I can't take the caffeine.
Yeah, but see, you have a Diet Mountain Dew schedule.
I do.
That's not weird. Everybody knows how long they can drink their Diet Mountain Dew.
But doing what Tim Walz did as a governor, I think that's a little weird.
It's very weird. And you know, I made this point earlier for this long to anybody, because I haven't heard anyone talking about this, but as a woman, I don't expect feminine hygiene products to be provided to me in any restroom I go into, but I would really like to see if in Minnesota all female restrooms have feminine products.
Right.
I bet that they don't. When I'm watching Kamala Harris not talk to the media, I guess there's a possibility that exists that she could get through the rest of this election without having to be pressed. She's going to have to debate.
I don't see how the American people take it, even if the press want to be light on her on this. You are asking to become the the leader of the free world. Yes, it's the president of the United States, but you are going to be the leader of the free world. And we've already seen what it's like to not have someone present to do that.
Yes.
And are someone else pulling the strings? And so the question is, do they keep her? It's not COVID. They can't lock her in the basement, but they've got to get her out to talk. Now, do I believe
they
that
have to
she's
get her
going,
off the prompter?
Yeah, yeah.
To talk.
And I
she
believe
is out there.
I believe this honeymoon lasts through their convention.
How's Chicago? You, as an Illinois representative, you've worked in state government. You've been in Congress for a while. What's going to happen in Chicago?
You know, I don't know. I think that it'll be interesting to see how the state government, what threats they get there. I think maybe after the assassination attempt on Trump, some of it calmed down. I pray it has, because the original thought was there was going to be so many riots up there this next weekend that they couldn't control it like they did in 1968. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was with what they did in 1968. Remember, that was the world that was both racial tension and Vietnam tension.
I've heard about it. I don't remember it.
I do. Sorry. I was very young, though.
Yeah,
I was
absolutely.
Very young. I was 7 years old.
Congressman Boss, before we let you go, only got about 90 seconds left. Everyone talks about Trump, Kamala Harris, so on and so forth. We need to win the House. The Republicans need to dominate in Congress.
We need to increase our numbers in the House
is
and win
happen?
The Senate. I believe it is. We have some great candidates around this nation. We got a lot of people working hard on them. I'm working with them and trying to get out every time I can to help them. And what's really wild is we are probably the most diverse Republican Party that we've ever been as far as race and gender is concerned. But not policy-wise, okay? We are truly a group of people who believe in our conservative values, and we're going to be working to make sure that this nation holds.
We've been speaking with Congressman Mike Bost, and I'm so grateful that you came in here. I'm so grateful that you were so accessible to talk to our audience here. You got 30 seconds. What do people need to do right now to help secure victory, yes, in Illinois and across the country?
Get involved. First off, let me tell you that yes, get involved with your party that of choice and support, and Republican Party, I would prefer. But also, let me tell you this. I hope that people at the local level, actually, if there's not people running, and a little after the fact now, but pay attention and get so much involved that you might be able to get on a city council or anything like that, because that's what we need.
Awesome. Thank you for being in here.
Oh, thank you.
Thank
for
you for the donuts.
Yeah.
You brought us donuts. Last time was bagels.
Donuts this time. Yeah.
Donuts this time. Thank you. You've been listening to Congressman Mike Bost, Illinois' 12th District Representative, Chair of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, and our friend here on the Annie Fry Show. Stick around. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.